Welcome to the world of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors, where it's all about muscle, health, history, training, nutrition, bodybuilding, and state of mind.
Hey, listener, you're back with another episode of The World of Muscle with Tomáš and Randy.
Good morning, Tomáš.
Morning, Randy. How are you?
I'm good. You see how I got the Tomáš?
I did. I was very impressed, but I didn't really want to constantly.
I still think I should just refer to you as Tox.
Well, you can.
Yeah, that's easiest.
Okay. Okay. Do you want to get into today's topic?
Yeah, today's topic was brought to my attention by a friend called Joe Breen, named Joe Breen. Joe is out on the West Coast. He's a bodybuilder and a friend of Leo Costa's and Tom Platt's, and he's really involved. But he sent me this piece on Arnold in vegetarianism, and I was reading it, and the first thing that comes to my mind with Arnold is, oh, you political whore. You know, on the heels of just releasing Book One of Volume 3, which deals with Arnold and his comebacks and what he might have done or may not have done, it pales actually to me compared to what he does in politics.
Well, going back when he became governor, that was kind of a slap in the face of bodybuilders right then and there, when he supported a bill for banning raw milk sales in California.
It wasn't necessarily to ban raw milk. It was signing legislation that was going to make it very difficult for raw milk. I was on Superhuman Radio talking about the book, and Carl Lenore brought this topic up about our podcast, and I mentioned what we're going to be doing. So we started talking about Arnold, and Arnold, in 2008, when I released Volume 1, John Balick said he wanted a copy. He's going to hand deliver it to Arnold. So I thought this was a great opportunity because it was in the summer of 2008, just when legislation was coming up to make it more easy to get raw milk. Not necessarily easier, but there was legislation because people were always trying to shut it down. And they were going to make very, very strict regulations on bacterial coliforms, which could make it almost impossible to sell raw milk because they never passed the test. And there was legislation coming up that Arnold could sign that was going to assist, you know, in helping. You could turn it down so you can continue to buy raw milk. But he went and signed against it, right? And I didn't think the letter would – I don't even know if he would read the letter and just wipe his rear end with it. But, you know, he didn't care. Like I just – and the letter was nicely written to him, but Arnold reminded him where he comes from as a bodybuilder from Germany, and he grew up drinking raw milk, and he knows raw milk is healthy. But I knew it back in my mind. He doesn't care. He's going to go where the political wind takes him, right? Because anybody,
whether he cares or not. But when you have to, when you're in that position, you kind of don't get to make your own decisions anymore.
That's basically what I meant. That's what I was saying. The political wind makes him go. Like, I mean, he doesn't make those decisions. So I knew it was kind of futile. And here he is again, right? 2015 at the UN Climate Change Conference in Paris. He's doing the same thing where they're trying to blame us for all the carbon emissions, and the cows are still farting holes through the ozone and stuff like that. And then Arnold's telling us we should become vegetarians
or at least vegans.
Reduce meat down or become vegetarians.
Terminate it altogether.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought, oh, geez, this guy, you know, I don't know where he's coming from. He's just one of the boys, right? He's not stupid. He's not a stupid man. Anybody can research this and get the truth, right? And Arnold has those abilities. So he's just going where the political powers are telling him to go, because the whole climate change thing is totally controversial. Al Gore's movie, The Inconvenient Truth, has been debunked. And there's what they do is they say, well, the UN scientists, right? There's a few thousand UN scientists all agree on this global warming man-made. Well, even though it's 3,000 scientists, they're all, again, political horrors belonging to the UN. They don't tell you about the tens of thousands of scientists who aren't part of that UN little clique and who disagree with them. And you can go online and listen to all the controversy going on. What this is more or less is a big step in world taxing. You know, Al Gore's carbon and pushing the carbon cap and trade. It's really, they set this all up, who have orchestrated industry, redrew the industrial map where every single country takes its resources, and instead of developing the resources, they ship them out to another country to do whatever with those resources, and then they ship them around. So they create this huge carbon footprint and then turn around and blame us. And they're going to tax us because we have this, they're basically taxing us on a natural gas, right? It's like saying, okay, next step is you guys are actually consuming too much oxygen, right? So we're going to have to
tax that too.
On that. So that's where this is coming from. It is a big step in a world tax. It's one thing for your nation, your own nation to tax you and stuff like that, but it's another thing for like the UN or some type of global initiative organization to levy a tax on based on a business you have or whatever carbon footprint you have. So it's mostly a lot of bullshit there that, and Arnold's part of it, right? So,
but you got to give the global architect some credit because we buy it, at least the population buys it, hook, line, and sinker.
We have no choice. Like, I mean, most people are just indoctrinated right from the get-go, from education-wise, right? Like, I look at where I live in Twin Cities, it was one time a manufacturing area. It's now gone. Like, nobody asked us where the industry is going. Industry's gone. It's now where it's deemed as an intellectual city. In fact, Waterloo 5 years ago was voted as the most intellectual city in the world.
What happened to you guys in 5 years?
In 5 years, I don't know where we're ranked now, but I mean, because we had the two major universities, we had RIM, and we had the Perimeter Center. We had Stephen Hawking was just living about two blocks away from me for a few months. So I obviously we're a favored city by the architects to have that ranking. You wouldn't get that ranking, right? Mm-hmm. But Arnold, back to Arnold with his vegetarian, it's a misconception that they say the world where agriculture, a big industry agriculture to feed animals is destroying the planet. But there's the argument is even the other way, that to go vegetarian would be just as destructive on the environment. But the problem is we're doing all this mono farming for GMO crops like corn, soy, and wheat, and we're killing the soils by not properly replenishing them. Where we have these huge CAFOs.
Do you want to explain what monocropping is?
The monocropping is either going just soy, just corn, just wheat. It's one crop. And
so just how they used to do it in the old days was they would rotate the crops.
Oh, they had multi-purpose farms. They'd have dairy cows on there. They'd have orchards on there. They'd have gardens on there. They'd rotate the cows and move around the land. They'd use the manure to go back in the land. Now they're not fertilizing the soils properly, just putting a few chemicals.
Three chemicals in, and then.
Yeah, nitrogen, potassium, what is the other one? Calcium back into the soils. And this is destroying the soil. The way they farm is it erodes the soils. And they ignore the real natural technologies where they're finding out that herding animals, natural stampeding and herding animals actually increased the ability for the land to green the land, stomping the manure and the urine into the ground and then whatever vegetation there into the ground and then moving the herd off. They say it happens naturally when wild animals would chase herds from one place to the other, given their land's opportunity to recover. And you can actually turn desert lands green this way. And even additional carbon into the atmosphere, they say also is a greening effect because it is what feeds the plants, right? And there's arguments all over the place. The amount of emissions that the man gives off is so small compared to, say, the oceans and the rest of the natural phenomena that happens in terms of the CO2. So, but Arnold's part of this telling us we need to be vegetarian, and we are not vegetarians. I mean,
because that will solve the problem with emissions.
Yeah.
Not the diesel fumes and all the trucks and ships and airplanes and all that. It's becoming vegetarians.
They would love a vegetarian world, because they could control it so much better. Because with animal products, they're perishable. So you either have to eat them fresh or freeze them. But with carbohydrate, vegetarian based, especially with the carbohydrate, they'd be shoving wazoo right they'd be shoving soy right up our wazoo, right? Because all these products we shouldn't be eating, they can mass produce them, store them, ship them anywhere they want. So they have to convince us that they started this campaign decades ago with the fact that animal fats are going to kill us, cholesterol, etc. Yes. It's all bullshit. Right? It was the self.
Actually, recently they changed that. Cholesterol has come off the bad fats list.
Yeah, it comes off the bad fat list. Yeah, it's saturated fats, but it'll take decades for all the medical field to acknowledge this, because I guarantee you the doctors are still promoting this now. The general public has been so indoctrinated. Even people, even clients I deal with, they still struggle with that because it's that fear that's been embedded in them for 30 years, right? 40 years.
And it's only been 30 years. That's a crazy thing. It's short.
No, 30 years in the limelight. It hit the mainstream in the early 80s. I followed this. I mean, the cholesterol saturated scare started back in the 50s when that campaign began. But it really hit big stream. I'll be covering this in book four, volume three, because that's from the 80s onward. It was the early 1980s with the National Cholesterol Campaign. All the headlines, and I bought into it, right? I was only in my 20s then. I thought, wow, you know, cholesterol saturated fat is going to kill us. You know, it's killing us. And so the past 35 years has been a strong indoctrination. So anybody born in that era has been raised entirely on that doctrine, right? And it's hard to, even older people, we had 30 years of engraving. And when your doctor's telling you this, it's having a hard time to unwind it. And that's how vegetarianism really kind of took off. I became a vegan for 4.5 years. I've been on this other side. In researching muscle smoke and mirrors, I know the history in our field with vegetarianism. And I'm even in the, you know, I sometimes follow the consciousness movement. In the world of spiritual development, they too have adopted this vegan way that you have to be a vegan to elevate yourself in consciousness and this stuff. And that's not true. They think we are not. What kills me is when they say we are naturally vegans, and we're not. We're omnivore, right? Even the paleo guys who are naturally meat eaters, we can eat both. Some people are more suited to one more so than the other, but we can eat both, or we wouldn't be able to digest it, right?
Number one and number two is that you have personal experience. 4.5 years, you know how you felt when you were a vegan.
Yeah, I can say, like, if I took myself and a vegan and a cow and we went out on the grass field, only myself and the cow will survive, or just me. Depending, if I decide to eat the cow, I will survive. The vegetarian will die because he won't eat the cow. Or the cow could survive too if I decide to just drink the milk and let the cow eat the grass. The vegan will die because the vegan can't eat the grass and won't eat the cow or drink the milk. Because the vegan is not a ruminant animal, doesn't have multiple chambers in their stomach. They don't chew the cud, and they don't have 60,000 times the enzyme, the longer intestinal tract, to be a true herbivore, to digest grass. But we can digest, obviously, vegetables and fruits and certain things, as we can meats. And I don't like when the vegans say, we're not suited to eat meat. That's not true. I eat meat. I eat raw meat or cooked meat. I sit fine. If I could, I'd throw it up, or I'd have massive diarrhea out. It's just not a true statement. We are omnivore. But I mean, so much in terms of politics and economics and all different dispositions come in to really skew the argument, right?
Mm-hmm. And this is one way of controlling the masses as well, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and I respect those who want to be more agrarian based. That's fine. That's cool. I mean, but don't tell me that they get angry. Like they get really angry at us that we're ruining the world. But I understand some people just love animals and they do not want to eat the animals. That's cool. But there is a risk to their health because there are some things in animal products are more difficult to get in our current system of vegetables and fruits and stuff like that, right? We can still get pretty good grass-fed meat and dairy, but the fruits and vegetables, it's hard to get them that aren't, you know, devoid of nutrition, loaded with chemicals and sprays. Even if you're organic, you're still collecting a fair amount of chemicals from the air. So, you know, I tell people, you know, every vegetarian, every vegan, I lasted 4.5 years. Our friend Pam Killeen, she's an author and researcher. She lasted 9 years. I go through the whole, in volume two, I went through right from in bodybuilding and physical culture, Dr. Fred Tilney, Mark Berry, these are all pioneers in the iron game industry, Jack LaLanne, Bernard McFadden, the father of physical culture. They all abandoned veganism to bring in some animal products. Even Harvey Diamond and Marilyn Diamond, who convinced me to be vegan in the mid-1980s, have both abandoned it and from health problems. Probably the most, one of the more popular today is, you have the book, Lear Keith's The Vegetarian Myth. She lasted 20 years until she has irreparable damage to herself. And her whole life, her whole community of friends have all abandoned being vegetarian and vegan. She was in it from a spiritual, philosophical, economical, you name it, perspective. And now she realizes that it was all wrong. And her book explains on all those different fronts how she was wrong. It's an interesting read. And like I said, but everybody's thinking they need to be vegan. They're eating soy, not realizing the damage soy is doing to the thyroid and everything else. So it's just like a planet bullshit, like I say. Like, I mean, it's...
Well, and again, follow the money, right? Yep. As you explained, it's way easier, cheaper, and more sustainable to keep crops or grains or even vegetables longer than meat.
Yeah.
And we talked, was it like two episodes ago, where way easier to grow crops than to feed animals every single day, whether it's done by machines or people. It's time-consuming and doesn't really give you any time off.
Yeah, what's alarming, too, is the disappearing of all the small farms. There are millions of small dairy farms and regular farms in America, and they have been totally absorbed into this giant agribiz and CAFO, that's confined animal feeding operations. And there's where the destruction's coming. There's where all the diseases are coming to the animals, are in these giant feeding operations. And that's not the way we're supposed to be treating animals. That's not the way that we're supposed to be raising animals. And they're trying to tell us this, that it was the only way we can do it. Again, there's all sorts of, ignoring other sorts of natural technologies where the small multi-purpose farms can feed a lot of people using different technologies. But again, they don't want us. They want the food supply in the hands of less people, very powerful people. And it's going on for a long time.
And going back to the small farms, it's actually helping the earth by putting and all the nutrients back into the soil, opposed to just sucking it out.
Yeah, and it's very scary with the genetically modified organism. The Rockefellers behind this movement, these are very, very powerful people. Again, the global architects who are changing our food dramatically.
Yeah, you mentioned them starting, well, they started a long time ago, but there was a
big push now to take control of everything, right? And especially our food supply. So they'll tell us everything that we're going to run out of. And there's the big scaring tactics, you know, the end of food, these books that are out there to scare us, that food's suddenly just going to all disappear off the shelves. It just keeps going and going and going. It's like, man.
Well, I mentioned this in another previous episode of the Romans. Back in the Roman times, first thing they did was pour salt on the land. So they were the only source of food. So once you control the food source, you're king.
Yeah, I sit on Carl's show. There's one thing that is for certain, in my opinion, that everything these people tell us through the mainstream media is a lie. We're finding out everything is a lie. Even the maps of our planet are lies, but we won't get into that. But it's just... It's unbelievable how much of it is actually being unlayered and unlayered and unlayered now. But that's
well, with the internet, whoever has the microphone gets to tell the rest of them what's going on, right? So, and most people just believe it, even if they only hear it in the background.
Yeah, because they don't just own the media airways; they own the academia, they own the education. So they set the education, they write the history and all that stuff. So like.
Yeah, history is written by the victors. But now that the internet is free for everyone, I mean, we have our own microphone now.
Right.
Obviously, our
viewership's a little smaller than CNN. Yeah. But it's interesting what you said about the victors write the history. Carol Quigley, who was Professor Carol Quigley of Georgetown, a big historian, he was Bill Clinton's mentor. Quigley wrote a huge book called Tragedy to Hope back in 1966. It's 1,300 pages. It actually got pulled because he was exposing stuff he wasn't supposed to, because he had access to the papers of the Council on Foreign Relations back in the early 1960s. He said it was horrifying for him to find out the individuals, the elitists who were writing the history, who had such a hand in creating the history, right? They were the manipulators, and then they were in control of documenting this history. And because Quigley was, in many regards, a real historian. He was just an elitist at Georgetown who was given access to this information because he wrote history. And like I said, Clinton got his Rhodes Scholarship at Georgetown, went off to Oxford. But I mean, it's like that. They do. They write the history. And so we can thank Joe Breen for bringing this to our attention about Arnold and this current rant, and I'm sure Arnold's not going to listen to anyways, but maybe. I think, though, he's going to eventually read book one of volume three, which is, as it's been out now for a couple of weeks. Thank you for anybody listening who has bought it and given us a great review. It's been very much appreciated.
Yeah, it's actually been flying off the shelves. I've been packing them myself with some help ever since it got released. One good news is I'm getting better and faster at it. On that note, Randy, is there anything else you want to say?
Nope, I'm going to get ready for the weekend.
All right, enjoy.
See you in a while.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the World of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. We hope you've enjoyed the content of this episode, and we're looking forward to sharing more next time.